My class. The first years whose questions I didn't know the answers to. Can you explain the grid, Dean George? Let me check on that. What's the prereq for Anglican 2? Anglican 1, I guess. Wrong. Are we supposed to kneel or stand or bow or turn east in St. Luke's Chapel? I don't know, just get there on time and pray. I am so grateful to this class for sharing your lives with me these 3 years, for helping me answer some of those questions, for letting me learn on your watch, and for letting me know you and teach you and guide you. When I was a parish rector, the idea was that you get your people to stay. Although maybe I didn't want all of them to. So this idea that you're all moving on, it's something new for me. Please remain seated and let us begin in prayer. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Melt us, mold us, fill us, use us. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us. Amen. In the music and prayers and the lessons of Scripture, in the conferral of your certificates and diplomas, this evensong gives us time together to celebrate all that you have accomplished as Berkeley students at Yale Divinity School. And it's also a time for prayerful preparation as you move into commencement weekend. Time to take the hand of Jesus as you now walk into a new chapter. Come to him, a living stone, the author of 1 Peter writes, the author who is likely not Peter. As one scholar says, Peter stands in the background as author, but I have trouble imagining Peter ever standing in the background, except perhaps looking over the shoulder of the author and directing the writing project. Some of you have jobs lined up. Some of you would love nothing more. Some of you know the address you will move to. Others of you are anxious about where you will move next, but most of you are making a change. So in the midst of this time of transition, what is Scripturing offering to us in Jesus as a living stone? And how do we, as Scripture goes on to invite us, come like living stones to be built into a spiritual house? Large quarries of granite give New Hampshire its popular nickname, the Granite State. Stone upon stone fashioned into borders at the edges of fields, clearing land for crops and grazing sheep. Enormous stones emerge from the forest floor like gray elephants between pine and elm trees. Rocky outcrops form the northern shoreline along Lake Superior, where my family rented a cabin the week my dad took off each year, and 7 of us crowded in. But all I remember doing all week was jumping from one rock to the other, hiding beneath them, sitting on them, eating lunch on them, having campfires at night on them, diving from them, for a split-second plunge in icy cold water, and then quickly spreading flat out on slabs of hot rock warmed by the August sun. As a teenager, I sat on them and talked to God, looking out at the lake, trying to make sense of the world. Rocks tell a rich and varied history. The remaining records of volcanic activity, slow deposits of sedimentary rocks in ancient seas, building mountains from huge volumes of rising molten. reorganizing chemical ingredients to form living stone. God is our rock, our refuge, the immovable foundation of faith. Rock is raw material that forms into hills, rifts, cliffs, producing natural resources like tin, iron, granite, gold, and marble. But stone is not a synonym for rock. God is not the stone of our salvation. Stone is defined, geologists tell us, by human handling and human use. It's found only in combinations, limestone, sandstone, gemstone, which when left uncut appear like ordinary rock, but when broken open, diamonds, emeralds, sapphires, prized for their beauty. Shakespeare, in As You Like It, banishes the Duke from public service to life in the forest, where he notices books in running brooks and sermons in stone. I like the silence of stone, stone silence. And yet Luke reports that as Jesus entered Jerusalem on a colt and people spread their garments celebrating him, his detractors asked Jesus to quiet his followers, and that powerful intimacy and affinity Jesus had with nature, the winds and the seas obey him, the mountains move for him. He says, if these people are quiet, the rocks and stones will cry out. And then the large stone that someone rolled away deep in the dark night. The women who came before dawn are told, he is not here. They'd come in their loss with bags of spices in hand, certain the stone would be there. His tortured body released to the kiss of death, but it was a living stone and it was rolled away. Now, we've come here in the late afternoon for evensong with that same expectation, that he will be here. We enrolled in divinity school, studied the texts that transform lives, took out student loans, left relationships, gave up going to law school, left behind a medical practice, a senior teacher's salary. We've come here expecting to meet him. What would that mean to be told, oh, he's not here? Where will we find him? Out there. Out there, way ahead of us. Out where the church is being formed into the future, 50, 100 years ahead of us. That's where he is. And out there, in people like Yale New Haven Police Chief Anthony Campbell, son of a Harlem drug dealer and Rikers Island correction officer, Chief Campbell joined the force after graduating from Yale College with a degree in religious studies. My work is a ministry, he says. I'm a Christian on parole. Excuse me, I'm a Christian on patrol. He says, I may wear a uniform and a badge and carry a gun and wear a bulletproof vest, but reality is I'm a member of this community. 10 years ago, Campbell was run down by a suspect's vehicle and nearly killed. He spent 2 years learning how to walk again and regaining the use of his right arm. And when retirement was suggested, Campbell said, I believe that God has laid on my heart that this is the work he wants me to do. So I fought and made it back. With a master's degree from Yale Divinity School, he sees himself as a community builder, at the last meeting of the New Haven clergy, with Chief Campbell, a leading member of the clergy group, answered what's always his opening question to us: what do we need to talk about? By reminding the chief that he didn't mind the two squad cars that sit outside his church on Dixwell Avenue, he goes out and introduces himself to the officers who come to the neighborhood. But chief, he said, in the last month, there have been 6 officers in those cars, and they're all white, unlike anyone in my neighborhood or congregation. You told me a month ago that you would do something about this. The chief apologized. He said he promised it would be addressed. But then he looked back at that pastor, and he looked at every single one of us in the room, and he said, how many times have I sat here and asked you, everyone in this room, to send me officers from your congregations as recruits for the police academy? I don't want recruits off the streets. I want them from faith communities. And I cannot do that without your help. I asked Chief Campbell about the incident in the Graduate Hall of Studies at Yale in the middle of the night last week, picked up by the New York Times. We could have done better, he replied. I said, what should have happened? Officers might have spent more time with the student who called in, talked to her, asked her how often she studied there, where she was from, what year she was in, what she might have been afraid of when she made the call, giving the caller a lot more attention, he said, might have kept the officers from doing what should not have been done. Asking an exhausted graduate student up all night working and napping on the couch to produce a Yale ID. My point is that while you've been reading Augustine and James Cone, Anselm, Jennings, and Tanner, the people God is preparing you for have been saying their prayers in other studios and at other desks. In biomedical labs where the Spirit of God gives patience and determination to scientists searching for a cure. In the plumber and firefighter who heroically rise from sleep to stop a fire and a flood. In a hospital cafeteria worker praying for strength to finish a double shift to cover a child's tuition. And in those Parkland, Florida high school students whose righteous indignation put them on boarded buses to speak to our nation on behalf of children who come to school to learn, not to duck bullets on the front line of our country's gun wars. The Christians you will teach and serve and love deserve a church that will celebrate their work in the world. Celebrate it with all the fanfare and glory that we celebrate the ordination of a priest and the consecration of a bishop. Unless and until we do that, we are not living into the power of the sacrament of baptism. If the lives of all Christians die in those waters, then they all rise from those life-giving waters to follow Jesus. And when the church celebrates the Spirit of God alive and at work in all the people of God, doing the work of Jesus out there in the boardrooms and classrooms and hospital rooms and courtrooms, we will come closer to understanding something about filling our empty pews. Class of 2018, you are living stones. Each one of you a precious gem, glimmering with the gospel's refreshing word. Abide in your spiritual home. You leave here with a diploma in hand, but you know a piece of paper isn't going to do it. You could lose it. It might get torn up. It will get rained on. It could be burned in a house fire. Come to the living stone and, like living stones, be built up into a spiritual house. God is the steadfast rock, and you set stone upon stone of your hopes and dreams on that foundation. Build a layer with your valuable weaknesses, your instructive failures. Stack all those living stone upon living stone and build inside yourselves a spiritual house that will not be blown over when the winds bring hail and sleet and tornadoes touch down. Build a house that will stand up to the desert storms and the melting glaciers you are going to face. A spiritual house that will not rust, that will not crumble or fall, that no one can ever take from you. And build it not on paper degrees or our fickle, finite resources, but on the rock, the altar of the flaming fire of the living God, with Jesus, the chief cornerstone, binding heaven and earth on Calvary to our very own breath in the Holy Spirit, giving us life today. The unfailing triune sustenance. Dwell there. Take it with you. Abide there as you go out to do God's purposes in the world. Amen.